Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Praying always with all prayers and supplications in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints. And for me, that utterance might be given to me, that I might open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I might speak boldly as I ought to speak. You know, about a week ago, I was planning on sharing this morning verse 17, not verse 18, about the helmet of salvation, the hope, that hope we have. And we talked about that on Thursday night, about eternity. I figured, you know, hey, there's a lot of different earthquakes in a lot of different places of the world right now, and we can kind of do that. And I've been studying earthquakes and looking into that, and man, it's quite intriguing of what's going on. It's definitely the signs of birth pains, as Jesus says, that the time is very close. The signs are here, and they're the you know, contractions, if you would, with a pregnant mother that is delivering, they're getting closer and closer and closer and stronger, which is evidence that delivery is about to happen. And Jesus said that's what it's going to be like when you get close to my return. These signs are going to happen. The signs are there. They've been happening, but they're getting stronger. People say, oh, I've been hearing that for 20 years. Well, yeah, they've been happening, but they're getting stronger. They're getting closer together. They're becoming more powerful. It's interesting. In the last 12 months, there's been about or over 1,000 earthquakes that are above the 5-point level on the Richter scale, which is incredible. You know, in 12 months, over 1,000 throughout the world. I mean, it's getting stronger and stronger and stronger and more frequent. And we are living in the last time. But as I've been praying and just waiting on the Lord for the message, the Lord has been showing me that the greatest need for our church at present, and the word He has for you and me this morning, is prayer. There's a great need for prayer. Now, there's always a great need for prayer, as we see, praying always. Right now, there's a real attack upon the fellowship, and I've been hearing that from you guys. And so you guys out there are shaking your heads. Yeah, there's a real attack upon my life. You know, comments. Hey, we've been studying spiritual warfare. And I can't wait until you're out. Because I feel like the more we study it, the more I experience it. And that is because you're opening your eyes. Or God is opening your eyes and allowing you to see the reality of the spiritual battle. And you're beginning to deal with that. And actually, that's a good sign. It's a good sign that there's you know, attack, because that means you're doing something. The enemy doesn't like it, and you're stirring them up, and you're coming against him. You know, and when I was about to depart for Israel a couple months ago with the guys that went, with all of us that journeyed over to Israel, a sister in the fellowship shared with me about a vision she had, and she said that, you know, she wasn't going to share it, but God really laid it on her heart. And it was just simply a dark cloud coming over our fellowship. You know, it's speaking of, you know, some real dark times ahead. You know, and anytime I receive a word, in fact, some brother shared a word with me this morning, I usually just, I file that in my mind and start to pray about that and just kind of prepare myself. The Lord's trying to prepare for something. And, you know, I see that time is at hand. We're there. We really need to pray, saints. People are becoming discouraged. People are getting attacked. People are backsliding. We need to pray. We need to pray for what? The saints. Everybody goes, yeah, you need to pray. I need to start praying for myself. We need to pray for one another. We need to pray for one another. Friday, we received a letter from the fire department. We are right now in the process of finalizing some permits that we had got, 2 years ago, the conditional use permits for the other buildings that we're using here for the children's ministry. We had already done that here, and then as we added buildings, we went forward to get those permits. And we had been working on it. Now, it usually shouldn't take 2 years to do permits, but we had been going round and round paying architects all kinds of money to redraw plans and then to redraw them because the city has got all these corrections. In fact, the architect we have been working with is really experienced in his field, and he's been an architect for, how long has he been, EZ? 35 years. He's been an architect, and he actually is the guy that tests guys that are in the school for getting actually their license. He's one of the guys on the board that is in the process of those guys getting licensed. He's very high up. He knows his stuff. He's done this. You know, he's worked on huge projects. I mean, you know, conditional use permits, a few changes here and there, are nothing. The city gave him a list of corrections for us that he says is longer than he's ever seen in his career. I mean, and so we've been going round and round and round and round. And yesterday we get this kind of the last phase of this. Now, our permits that we got passed 2 years ago expire in a month if all of the other permits that go with it aren't finished and finalized, which is a permit of occupancy of how many people we have in the buildings. And so we've had the fire department out before, and they've been looking at it. And, you know, in fact, I talked with them and asked, you know, if the city and stuff, we asked in the very beginning stages if we'd need fire sprinklers and stuff. And you know, this kind of, you know, no, not really and things. And so now we get this letter yesterday, or we looked at it yesterday, the elders, and it's a letter from the fire department that says that by November 12th, which is when that permits up, would that be that 2 years, we need to have fire sprinklers in all of our buildings. We need to have fire alarms in all of our buildings. We need, and it's just this list of stuff. Well, to be real honest, even if we could afford it, there's no possible way that we could even get it done, because you got to draw up plans and then have those plans approved and submitted and this and that and approved by all this red tape, and then have, you know, and that's a huge job. I mean, we're talking about, you know, huge lines running through. I mean, we're talking about, you know, thousands, tens of thousands of dollars. You know, and it's like, you know, we're growing and stuff. It's not like we want to sink that kind of money into the fellowship here. And so we're in a place this morning where the Lord is seemingly pushing us on. And he does that. I do want to remind you of our history. When we won't move, he moves us. But the thing is we need to pray. It's not just, yeah, praise God, you know, we're going to be shut down. Great. we're going to be shut down for sure. Unless God does a miracle, either, you know, whatever God wants to do, he can, you know, get us past that or anything. Oh, it's really hard to get past. Those are just written codes. They're in the books. What are you going to get past, you know? Desiring to, you know, just walk in utmost integrity before the Lord and before the laws of the land which God has set forth. So we're in a place. A month isn't much time. You know, people say, well, we'll just go get another building. That's great. You know, we get a bigger facility and whatnot. You need permits. and you can't really get into them without getting permits. We did that, and God's grace was upon us here for the time, but you can't really get into them. And permits take, well, these have taken 2 years. Hopefully it wouldn't take 2 years, but they take time. And so we're in a place. We also have a lease here. And we have 6 more months on our lease. So, saints, we need to pray. Because it's not like we can just leave. And if we left, we'd have to, you know, pay rent here and somewhere else. And there's just a lot of warfare right now, and really a lot of discouragement and attack. I know upon me, I'm standing up. I'm holding on to the armor and picking up the shield, you know. But definitely the enemy is on the move and trying to discourage. And I love what Paul says here in verse 19. He says, and pray for me. And I'd say the same this morning. Pray for me. You know, there's a lot going on and really a lot upon the plate of the elders and the guys that we gotta do something, make decisions. We need to really hear from the Lord, obviously. We need a miracle. You know, this verse on that note in Exodus chapter 14, the Lord has spoken to me through. I love it. And I was looking for it. It's when Moses parted the Red Sea, and I didn't even know what chapter it was in. I opened it up, and My eyes fell immediately to it, verse 13 of chapter 14 of Exodus, and Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians who you see today, you shall see again no more forever." You know, I love it because there's a physical battle that they're in. They're being chased by an army, and we've learned that our battle isn't flesh and blood. Our battle isn't the city. We don't need to get upset with them or the fire department or whoever else. But it's against spiritual hosts of wickedness. And we need to gird up and pray. We need to stand back and what? See the salvation of the Lord. The word salvation is deliverance. We need the salvation, if you would, the deliverance of the Lord. Lord, we need you to do a miracle. They needed one. They were faced at the Red Sea. And the Egyptian army behind them, nowhere to go, and the people were complaining. And I love it because it says in verse 14, so Moses speaking, he says, "The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." And the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward, but lift your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry land through the midst of the sea." I love it. The Lord says, "Why do you cry to me? Go forward. Go forward." We definitely, as a congregation at this time, within the history of our church, we need to stand. I want to remind you that we were in the backyard. The church was growing. We were about 200 people. And the city came on a Tuesday and gave us a certificate that we are no longer allowed to meet there. We had 2 days then. We have a month now. And God miraculously opened another church that they allowed us to meet in their facility. All permits are already set. Everything done. Just come on in. And we were able there to meet for a year and be able to establish and get the corporation together and to get all the legal matters together to begin to start officially a church. And then we came here to this. This was a catering hall for those of you that weren't with us then. We had little white chairs, you know, that people complain to me about these seats. Man, that's, you know, these seats are hard. They hurt my back. Oh man, white chairs would have really dealt with you. They weren't the ones with the arms and everything, you know, they were just these little round things. And, you know, we had a setup. This stage has been made, in pieces because we tear it down and set it up. All the sound equipment, everything. You know, Children's Ministry, we had a trailer we hooked everything up in. And, you know, we might be going back to something like that real soon. So I hope you guys are ready to serve because, man, that takes labors. But, you know, we came into the catering hall and we started renting from them on Sunday mornings. And we were still meeting over at Placentia at the church that allowed us to use their facility on Thursday nights. And we started meeting and, you know, we started teaching the word and God did neat things. But then one day the guy that oversaw the catering hall calls me in, and I knew it wasn't good. And he said, "You know, I want to talk to you." So they called me in, and Easy and I think it was. It was you and I, ready? Yeah, and we came in, and he said, "You know, we're moving to Fullerton, and we just want to let you guys know that we won't be available for you anymore here, but we want you guys to come over to Fullerton. You know, they want our business over there." And, you know, man, I'll tell you what, the Lord right then gave me a peace. He said, "I'm going to give you the building." And then what happened after that? Doubt, discouragement, always. The Lord gave me a peace. We came. The guy says, "Oh, man, the price these guys want, the landlord here, for that building, you guys can't afford." Began to tell us how much they were charging. Told us the landlord wasn't easy to work with, was real difficult. So we prayed. We sought the Lord. The Lord gave us a ridiculous proposal. Ask him for a third of what they're asking. Bring it down. And ask him to donate some at the same time. Some other space for you. That's kind of empty, not being used. So we wrote up the proposal. The Lord spoke to us in a prayer meeting. I doubted for a week. I couldn't get the proposal. I was like, they'll never lease to us after they see this. We're just going to just embarrass them, shame them. Just, I mean, we can't do this. These guys are businessmen. We go in there. We give them the proposal. I wait for a phone call. I get a phone call within hours. Yeah. And the lady goes, "Yeah, it's a go." I'm like, it's a, And I'm just like, what? She said something wrong. She hang up. I'm thinking, I gotta call her back. I gotta make sure this is, you know, and we came in, we signed it. And that's what we've been doing. You know, and it's like, we've been in these circumstances before. I do know, obviously, we're growing. We've been praying as a congregation, as elders. Lord, what would you have us to do? It's a great possibility God to be pushing us out through this. Where to go? The park. that's what we got right now. They'll probably kick us out of there if we keep being there too. So, don't know. We need to pray, saints. We need to pray. We need not to just stand back and say, oh God, yeah, he's great, he's gonna, but we need to lock in and we need to begin to really seek after the Lord, because from my experience, the Lord has always had exceedingly abundantly. And that's what the Word of God says. And so I'm going to choose to believe that this morning. You know, so now I'm starting to see why the Lord had laid on my heart to teach on prayer this morning. And so our text this morning, praying always with all prayers and supplications in the Spirit. Oh, by the way, we put a box downstairs for the Calvary Chapel Saving Grace Building Fund. Anybody that feels led to give above and beyond your tithe to that, we're putting money away for whatever the Lord has set before us. I just think it's wise to do that, because if we were to get maybe another place, we have to remodel it or something, or permits, and all this costs thousands and thousands of dollars. And so we just want to be ready, and so we put that out there, and just want to make that available to you. But praying always with all prayers and supplications in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints. I love the word always. It speaks of, in the Greek, it speaks of at all occasions or any occasion. It speaks of, some translations translate it, all seasons, the different seasons. Man, we ought to be praying. And you know what? We need to be praying in the good time and in the bad times. We need to be praying. You know, not just, oh no, we're going to lose our building, Lord, and just start praying. Well, we need to pray then. We need to pray always. It's not wrong to pray then. But you know, it's an interesting thing. I think that if we were to pray in the good times, we wouldn't see so many bad times. Listen to what Paul says in Philippians here, just the next book over. And he says in verse 3, he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you. Interesting. Verse 9, it says, in this I pray that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. You see, the apostle Paul is praying for the Philippians. Now, you got to understand something about the Philippians. We're going to be studying this. And again, I do encourage you to read through the book of Philippians this week. Thursday night, we start Philippians. It's an awesome, wonderful, beautiful book. Definitely a life changer. Like every book of the Bible is, but in its special way, in a different area of your life, about living above circumstances and being filled with the Spirit and the peace of God and being filled with joy and living in unity and loving one another and fellowshipping together in the gospel and serving God together. It's a book, I really believe, for our church, a book that's for a church that's active in ministry, and the Philippians were. And they were Paul's really favorite church. They were the ones that Paul says, you were the guys, the only one that were there for me. And really, a church, he said, I want to come back to you. And it seems like he's in Rome, and we know he's on his way to Spain, but it seems like if he gets released from prison, he's saying, I'm going to come to you. And I want to meet with you guys before I maybe make that journey, because of his heart for them. They were a church that were totally supportive of the Apostle Paul when nobody else was. And we'll see that as we study, and as you read this week Philippians, I want you to look for those things. You'll see that. And so the interesting thing is Paul is praying for their love. Though they're a church filled with love, he prays that their love might still abound more and more. Not pray that they would have love, but the love they do have would only grow. And so he's praying for people that are already doing good. He's praying that they would do better. And I think when we see people that are doing good, if we would pray for them that they'd be doing better, they might not end up doing bad. The prayers of the saints are powerful. Satan cannot withstand the prayers of the saints. Truly can't. You know, it said when the weakest saint is on his knees, Satan trembles at the weakest saint upon his knees. Satan trembles at the sight of just the weakest saint, the one that might not know the word, the one that might not all these things, but he's just there before the Lord. beseeching the throne of God, because of the authority of the blood of Jesus Christ, he's able to do that, and he finds a real power and a real authority there. And Satan trembles because, you know, Satan is wiped out at it. Praying always. We need to pray in the good times, we need to pray in the bad. You know, it says there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says in verse 17, it says, pray without ceasing. We need to pray without ceasing. And, you know, I was talking to a brother after first service, and he's saying, you know, I've got so many things to pray for that I'd always be praying if you know, I did what you said this morning. You got it, exactly. Well, the thing you're missing here is it doesn't mean you got to be on your knees banging your hand on the floor every time you're praying. You're praying always. It's a life. It's a lifestyle. And I want to remind you that the armor of God is a lifestyle. Again, we saw last week there in verse 13 that when you take up the armor of God, the word take up in the Greek is to take up once for all. It's a one-time act. It's not take it up today and then put it down when you go to sleep and pick it up in the morning. You know, in your devotions, you're not praying on the armor, or you're not, you know, putting on the armor. It's on. It's a lifestyle. You know, the walk of righteousness ought to be a lifestyle. The breastplate of righteousness, it's a lifestyle. You know, the standing on the gospel of peace, the firm foundation, the readiness to share and the preparation in it, it's a lifestyle. I'm prepared. I'm ready. I'm ready in season and out of season. I'm always. Not sometimes. You know, the shield of faith, it's I live by faith. It's not, I need faith now. I better get some. It's my life. Our lifestyle should be a life of faith, a life of interceding, a life of seeking after the Lord. It's the Christian life. You know, our mind should be set on eternity, not when we need it, but always. Everything we look at should be viewed through the lens of eternity. That's how the Christian's called to live. It's not put on the armor, take it off, put it back on, take it off. It's a continual thing. The sword of the Spirit is always in our hand. We're using different parts of it at different times and using different moves, if you would, in the analogy of the warrior. It's the sword of the Spirit. It's the Word of God. And I love how Paul then just goes in and says, and pray it always. He doesn't even say and. He just says, pray it always. To truly be a warrior and to be one who is armed with the armor of God, you need to be in the Spirit. To be in the Spirit, you need to be engaged in fellowship with God. You know, prayer is engaging your heart in fellowship with the Lord. That's all it is. It's not some great lofty thing of, you know, just the holy, radical, psycho saints do this. These guys that are just zealous and just on fire and just crazy. It's for the person who's just got a fellowship with God. Do you have fellowship with God? Listen, what he's saying when he says there in Thessalonians, pray without ceasing, he says, don't stop. Live in communion with God. Why? Because you can. And there's so much doctrine that comes into this and so much teaching through the New Testament that there's no way that I could even scratch it this morning. Well, we'd have to do a study in the book of Hebrews. Well, that'd take some time, wouldn't it? But really, you know, understanding that Hebrews chapter, you know, 3 and 4, we looked at that when I was with the guys. You know, the rest, the entering in, the access we have, the ability we have to come in boldly to the throne of grace, to come and to partake of the things of God. We're free. We're able. We can do it. We can live in that place of fellowship with God. So be reminded this morning that prayer doesn't mean you have to be on your knees. Oh, there's definitely a time to get on your knees, and I encourage every one of us to be on our knees daily. It's important. That time where all distractions are away. But you know what? Just because I can't live a life of complete all distractions, we're not going to go and, you know, build a monastery and be monks, nuns, and just put the world away. We're going to go out and be lights. But as we're lights, we need to pray. And so in every case, every circumstance, and this brings you into an understanding of God is calling you and I to pray in every single solitary circumstance and decision we make, just in our hearts praying. It's not like you're just going to be hearing from God all the time and, whoa, revelation, yeah, vision, oh yeah, that's, oh yeah, and a verse comes in my mind and, you know, and people think, well, God doesn't speak to me. Wait a second. Mellow out for a minute. Settle down. It's practical. You pray. You just fellowship and you trust that God is leading you because your heart is in tune with Him. You're walking in righteousness. You're being led by the truth of the Bible. You have the belt of truth on. You're being led by the Spirit of God. You are walking in faith as you believe and obey the Word. You are living in viewing everything and making all your decisions based upon that eternal perspective. You're praying always. Every case, every circumstance. Now, he says here to pray two ways, to pray with prayers and supplications. Prayers is general prayer. That's the word. It means the general prayer, just general things. Pray for blessing. You know, you're praying for blessings on people. There's just general things. Supplication is a specific need. It's the individual needs that we need to be praying for. For instance, like our building situation, that's a need. We need to pray for it. For Christians that are going through spiritual warfare, it's the evil day for them. We saw that last week, what the evil day means. They're going through it. We need to stand with them. We need to stand by them. We need to stand before the Lord and pray. We need to beseech, Lord, we pray that you would strengthen them, whatever it is. Say they're being tempted with sin and they're at a point of maybe starting to backslide. We need to pray. Lord, protect them. Keep them from the wiles of the enemy. Lord, give them the faith. Strengthen them. Begin to pray for that issue, for that need. And I would encourage us to see that prayer is important it's important to pray for not just physical needs. So many times we get caught praying for physical needs. Usually in the tragedy of the circumstance, it's always physical needs. You know, we need a building. It's a physical need. You know, hey, the church is the church. You know, we're the church. You know, if we meet, you know, out in the parking lot, we're the church. You know, there's obviously complications with those kind of circumstances, but hey, we're still the church. And there's spiritual needs within the body. And right now the enemy is dealing with people in a spiritual sense and attacking and assaulting. We need to pray. It's interesting, Paul here, when he asked for prayer for himself, he doesn't say, pray for me to get out of prison. Listen to verse 19. He says, and for me that the utterance might be given. He doesn't say, and for me that I might be delivered from prison. You'd think he would throw that in. I would. You know, they're chained. He's like, and for me that I might be delivered. He says, the utterance might be given. That I might open my mouth boldly to speak the word as I ought to speak, because I'm an ambassador of Christ. Verses there, 19 and 20 are some beautiful verses of the inside of this spiritual, condition of the apostle Paul. When he's in trial, what's he doing? He's asking, let me be bold where I am. Not let me get out so I can be bold. It's interesting because as you study, and it seems to be that Philippians was written after Colossians, Ephesians, Colossians, and Philemon. Again, those four are the prison epistles. Ephesians, Colossians, Philemon, and Philippians. Ephesians, Colossians, and Philemon seem to be carried by this man named Tychicus. We see that in verse 21 here for the Ephesian letter. We see that in Colossians chapter 7. We see that in chapter 4, verse 7 and on. We see this. And it seems to be that he's the carrier of those three letters. He carried them. And he brought them, and this would all be in the same region, Ephesus, Colossae, and this man named Philemon in the church of Colossae. We see that. But it's interesting, the letter to the Philippians was carried by a man named Epaphroditus. And Epaphroditus was from the church of Philippi. Epaphroditus seemingly came to minister to Paul and bring him a gift, and he was now returning with this letter from the apostle Paul. And it's wonderful here to see that it's probably later. We think it's later because of all kinds of circumstances, but one I could just throw out to you is it's probably later because Paul is dealing with the end of his defense before Caesar in his imprisonment, because he says that, you know, right now it's at hand. I'm already being poured out as a drink offering. The time of my, not the time of my departure, but he says that you know, whether I live or die is here. And he says, I don't know. And he says, if I should choose, I cannot even tell. And so it seems like he might be in the middle of that defense, which would bring him to the latter 2 years of that imprisonment, or the 2 years recorded in the book of Acts, the latter part of that imprisonment. And so it seems like that. Now, what's interesting about that is when you read Philippians, you find that Paul is giving praise report, I believe, of answered prayer. Listen to this. Philippians chapter 1, verse 13 says, so it has become evident to the whole palace guard that and all the rest that my chains are in Christ. What is he saying? I've had boldness to open my mouth. What's it become evident? The gospel's become evident to who? the whole palace guard. Those are the Roman soldiers. And at the end, there in verse 22 of chapter 4, he says, "And greet the saints, but especially those of Caesar's household." Huh. There's a church now in Caesar's household. Those are the guards. God answers prayer. God answers prayer, and it's important for us to see how God answers prayer. God has answered these prayers, and brothers and sisters, we need to pray. We need to pray always. We need to pray like Paul said, hey, pray for me. We need to pray for spiritual things. We need to pray for physical things too. There's nothing wrong with that. Jesus told us to do that. Give us this day our daily bread. Lord, give us a place to meet. There's nothing wrong with that. But at that time, make sure we're not sidetracked from praying for spiritual needs, because there are spiritual needs today in your life and you know it. And there are people whom you know in this fellowship that you're friends with, that you're close to. And if you don't have anybody like that in this fellowship, you need to begin to pray that God brings those to you. You need those. You need accountability. We need to be a body. We don't need to be churchgoers and sit in pews. We need to come together and be a family. And though I can't know all of you and talk to all of you, you know, you try meeting 450 people and have a relationship with 450 people. That'd be, you know, a lot of work. But we have one another, and that's what the body's about. It's not about a man. It's about one another. It's about Jesus Christ, the man. We come together. The Bible says we come together to stir up one another for love and good works. There ought to be accountability. And so you know people that you're close to and associated with here in this fellowship that need prayer. You know what they're going through. They've confessed. They've shared their struggles. Pray for one another. Not just together at church, but as you go. Let's pray. Praying always with all prayers and supplications. Have a supplication for that person. Pray for one another. And he says here, in the Spirit. In the Spirit speaks of in the sphere of the Spirit, in the realm of the Spirit. That's where we're praying and anointed by the Holy Spirit. Being led by the Spirit. First of all, let's take the sphere of the Spirit. In the area of the Spirit, that's where our battle is, isn't it? We don't fight against flesh and blood, but against spiritual host of wickedness. It's a spiritual battle, and we need to realize that. And as we pray, we need to realize we are battling in the Spirit. We need to be led by the Spirit. We need to be anointed by the Holy Spirit. We need to be, as Paul said here in Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 18, to be filled with the Spirit. And the word we saw was continually filled and filled and filled, all the time being anointed, filled with the Spirit, knowing this, that God's Spirit is longing to fill us. It's not a thing you got to earn it. It's a thing you have to receive it. How? By faith. God is longing to pour out His Holy Spirit on us. Jesus said in Luke chapter 11, as He talked about prayer, as He taught them how to pray, as He talked about persistence in prayer, as He talked about asking and keep on asking, seeking and keep on seeking, knocking and keep on knocking. He says, when you ask, when you keep on asking, you'll receive. When you seek and keep on seeking, you'll find. When you knock and keep on knocking, that door will be open to you. And I'm taking those keep ons from the Greek. That's what it means. And it's tenses. Those of you that study Greek, look at it. It's wonderful. It's a persistence. And the whole passage and a parable around it is about persistence. We'll talk about persistence in a minute. Perseverance. But it's interesting, as Jesus starts closing out that section in verse 13, He says, you guys know how to give good gifts to your children. He goes, when a son comes to you and asks you for food, you don't give him something poisonous. He says, how much more the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? If you're saying, Lord, fill me with your Spirit, make me a man of prayer, make me a woman of prayer, anoint me. Give me a boldness, a power, an ability to see into the unseen. Give me a discernment in the things of the Spirit and prayer. He's going to give it to you. Ask, you will receive. He's longing. As a father, he longs to give his kids food. You know, father's greatest tragedy, a man's greatest times of depression, is when he cannot feed his family. It's got to be one of the most shameful things for a man when he can't provide for his family. Because his heart is just to be a good dad and a provider for the home. And Jesus is the Father. He longs to give good gifts. He doesn't say gifts. the Holy Spirit to those who ask. Brothers and sisters, we need to pray in the Spirit. As we pray, you know how it is. Sometimes you pray, you're just just praying. You find yourself falling asleep. You find yourself not really making it. You're not really involved. You're not there. You know, Peter found himself like that. Turn to Matthew chapter 26. Look at Peter praying. And as you turn there, let me finish reading you this verse, because it says, praying always with all prayers and supplications in the Spirit, being watchful to this end. In the Spirit and being watchful, I think, tie together pretty powerfully. Listen to this, Matthew chapter 26. In Matthew 26, in verse 36, Jesus came and with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. And he took with him James and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. This is right before the cross. It's the Garden of Gethsemane. He's got his disciples and he takes his three closest men with him, closer even to where he's praying. And he says, then he said to them, my soul's exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Stay here and watch with me. He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Then he came to the disciples and found them asleep and said to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray. You see this word watch. And it goes tied with prayer. Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing. That is the human spirit. But the flesh is weak. Peter had a problem with sleep and prayer. You ever had that problem? You having that problem right now? I know it's a little hot in here. It's getting a little warm. Kind of interesting, man. You can stay awake when you're doing things all day, but you come to the Word. You come to prayer. Oh. Isn't that how it is? Hey, watch. It's not just some physical thing that's going on. Watch and pray. Watch. Watch and pray. We need to realize that this is warfare. Satan doesn't want you to pray and doesn't want you to hear the Word. He wants to do anything to distract your mind. Watch and Jesus says, take your mind and watch. Set it. Watch with me. Paul says, praying always with all prayers and supplications in the Spirit, being watchful to this end. Make sure you keep doing it. Be watchful. Be one that's on guard. Be one that's seeing the unseen, seeing what's going on in the spiritual battle, in the spiritual realm, what's going on, what's happening. We need to pray. We need to pray with perseverance. We need to pray with a heart that's watching. We need to pray anointed by the Spirit. Turn with me to the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 10. I love this. We looked at this a little while ago. We've been studying warfare when we talked 2 weeks ago about principalities and powers. We saw Daniel. This morning I want to let you see something that happens, because I want to let you know that prayer in the Spirit as a watchful believer is powerful and will affect the spiritual host of wickedness in a radical way and begin to release the powers of heaven and begin to make things happen. Prayer causes effect. Prayer changes things. We need to be a people that are watchful, that say, hey, wait, prayer is important. You know, if we were to look into our lives as Christians, and somebody was to do a survey of our day, they would say the least important thing in that man's doctrine is prayer. They don't pray, so it must not be that important, so we won't pray. If we were to say, follow me as I follow Christ, it'd be sad to say for a lot of us. People wouldn't see that prayer was necessary. They study the Word. They witness. They do all the right things, but they don't understand the spiritual battle that they are engaged in. Because all of that will do nothing without the power of the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ moving, and they've chosen to move through prayer. Look at this, Daniel prays. as he's praying, and I love Daniel's prayers, chapter 8, 9, 10 here. I encourage you to look through them on your own. Verse 10, as Daniel's praying, it says, "Then suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands, and said to me, 'O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I've spoken to you and stand upright. For I have now been sent to you.'" Hear this. An angel is speaking to Daniel, touches him. He says, "Daniel," and Daniel says, "Shake, stand upright, for I have been sent to you." Listen to this. "While he spoke these words to me, I stood trembling." So Daniel stands, and he said to me, "Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God." What's he talking about? When he started praying. "Your words were heard, and I came because of your words." I got that underlined in my Bible. "And I came because of your words." Daniel's prayer caused the spiritual world to move and to battle. Look at this, verse 13. "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me." This is a demon. As we looked at a principality. "He withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael's one of the great warrior angels, Michael the archangel, one of the chief princes," see, he's a chief, "came to help me. And I have been left alone because I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia." Daniel is now seeing what has been going on for the last 3 weeks that he hadn't seen. There's Daniel. "Maybe God isn't hearing me. Where is the Lord? I'm praying. God, we need you." Daniel begins to supplicate. He begins to make intercession for his nation and for the sins of his nation. And Daniel begins to watch. He begins to humble himself before the Lord. He begins to separate himself to a time of prayer, a season that is needed. He begins to say, "Lord, we need you. Hear me. Answer me." He begins to cry out. And on he goes. And Daniel continues to go. And 3 weeks later, all of a sudden, the answer of the Lord shows up and reveals what's been going on for the last 3 weeks. The last 3 weeks of Daniel's life, there has been a spiritual battle raging in the spirit world. And Daniel has been the man that started the battle. Brothers and sisters, I know that there's a spiritual battle, and so do you. There's a spiritual battle. There's demons that are attacking and trying to affect this church right now. And the word of the Lord to us this morning, whether it be through permits or temptations to sin, the word of the Lord to you and me this morning is praying always with all prayers and supplications in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints. Perseverance. The word there is speaking of continuing. The word perseverance is that which we're not going to give up on. I love it. It's to continue, to give attention to, total attention. It's interesting, the word watch, being watchful to this and with all perseverance, you're watching. It's the opposite of not hearing. It's watching, but it's more than watching. In the Greek, it's that you're actually watching with the ear turned, with the heart in open. You're ready to hear. Brothers and sisters, we need to hear the Lord. You need to hear the Lord. You need direction in your life. You need God to guide you, to lead you, to do these things. We need it so desperately. Satan is trying to get you to go to sleep. Why do you think Paul says when he's talking about spiritually, not physically, there in chapter 5 and verse 15, he says, "Awake you who sleep and arise from the dead and let Christ give you life." Wake up! And then he says, "See that you walk carefully or circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the times because the days are evil. Do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to give ourselves to the life that's alert. As we've looked at all through the study, to be vigilant, to be soldiers, to be ready, to be on the guard, to be a watchman. A watchman in the Spirit saying, you know what, right now as I give myself to prayer because of the authority of the cross, because of the blood of Jesus, because of the access I have into God's presence, I can affect these situations in the spiritual realm where the real war, the real battle's going on. We need to pray. We need to pray. We need to pray with perseverance. We need to pray with hearts that aren't going to give up. What if Daniel said, after a week and a half, forget it? You know, I think I'd be safe to assume that the battle would have stopped. We have come, he says, Daniel, I have come because of your words, your prayers, your prayers. I know in our time, I know in our church, I know we grow weary in prayer. I know that because I'll do a message on prayer. People will get stirred up to pray. Prayer meetings will be overflowing, and it will last about a month. It's part of our culture. You start something and you don't finish it. Listen, don't let your culture control you. You control your culture. You're a Christian. Listen to what Jesus says, and I quoted from it, but I want to look at it. Luke chapter 11, as he talks about persevering. Listen to this, Luke chapter 11. And it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he had ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And he said to them, "What? Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, Friend, lend me three loaves. And a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, Do not trouble me, the door is now shut. And my children are with me in bed, and I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, again, keep on seeking, and you will find. Knock, and don't ever stop, and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks and keeps on asking receives, and he who seeks and keeps on seeking finds, and he who knocks and keeps on knocking, the door is open. And if a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Look at Luke 18 with me. Luke 18. Then Jesus spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, avenge me of my adversaries. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, Though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect? Listen, who cry out day and night? How many of us cry out day and night to him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? What is Jesus saying? In both of these parables, what is he saying? He's saying men ought to pray and not lose heart. Why does he say that? Because men lose heart. See, Jesus doesn't say things that don't need to be said. He doesn't waste his breath. He knows men lose heart. Paul says, do not grow weary while doing good, for in due season you shall reap if you do not lose heart. I wonder if Daniel lost heart, what would happen? You see, we are called to pray always, in all kinds of ways, with general prayers and with supplications, in the Spirit, with a watchful eye to this end, with perseverance and supplications for all the saints. How many of us grow weary? How many of us need to hear this word this morning? And how many of us need to take heed to this word? I do. Big time. And I need to be reminded and reminded until I get it. And I'm going to remind you until you get it. Because brothers and sisters, Satan wants to rip you off. Listen, Jesus is saying in these parables, he's saying, listen, because of persistence, the man got the bread. Again, we've talked about that parable and the culture behind it. And it wasn't easy for the guy to get up and get the bread and, you know, wake up and open the door and turn the lights on. It wasn't like he flipped the lights on, he unlocked the bolt lock and, you know, brought it. I mean, it was a whole deal. He was in bed. All his kids were in bed. They're all there. You know, he'd have to wake up the whole household to get the bread. You know, the kitchen and the bedroom are one room. It's not like, well, you know, hold on, you know, I'll go in my kitchen and get you something. No, no. And so the guy's like, no, 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 I'm not going to do that. But the guy kept knocking. Now the guy's waking up his whole family. He's not going to leave. Either be waking up for a moment, get the bread, get the guy out of there, or let the guy stand out there all night because the guy's persistent. The guy didn't go, okay, I'll go to the next neighbor. Probably wasn't the next neighbor. The guy just stood there. No, I need the bread. I need the bread. I got a guy coming on a long journey. I got to have bread. I got it. He says, knock it. And Jesus said, because of his persistence, he gave him what he needed. And he said, you can have as much bread as you want. Three loaves. Get it. Get out of here. It's the parable here is the guy's bugging. Isn't that what Jesus said in the other one? Nagging widow. Her persist, she wouldn't leave the judge. The judge says, I don't care about this widow. I don't fear God. I don't regard man. I could care less. I'm a hard-hearted person. But if I don't give this widow what she wants, I'm going to have to deal with her every single day, and I've had enough of her. Give her what she wants. Get her out of my court. Now, the Father's not like that. That's why Jesus says, how much more the heavenly, you being evil, how much more the Heavenly Father? That's why Jesus said, you know, there his own let cry out day and night. Listen to what he says here in verse 7. He says, and shall God not avenge his own elect? A whole different thing. My own special chosen people, my kids, who cry out to him day and night. If the unjust judge would do that, how much more the just judge? The one that does regard man. The one that died because he loves man. The one that chose you because he's in love with you. How much more will he not avenge them speedily? And then he says, listen to this verse. Though he bear long with them. You know, God bears long with our weak, wimpy crying and our sin and our junk. And he bears with us. He's long suffering. Though he bears long with them, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, this is a truth, he says. But nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, second coming, will he really find faith on the earth? I didn't understand that verse for a long time. I understand it now. We don't believe. Therefore, we don't cry out day and night. Will Jesus find his elect crying out day and night when he returns? Nevertheless, this is true. This is who God is. This is the Father. Nevertheless, will the Son of Man really find faith on the earth? That's an interesting phrase. Will he even find it? Well, can he even find it on the earth? The church is bigger than it's ever been. And doubts more than it's ever doubted. Our church right now, personally, this congregation is bigger than it's ever been. There ought to be more faith here than there's ever been. Not less. I'll tell you what, we had some serious faith in our early days. Do we still have it? We still serve the same God. The same God. We should have more because we know Him more. We understand Him a lot more. Brothers and sisters, we had some serious prayer going on in the early church. And I'm speaking of our church, the early days. We had some prayer meetings that would just shake you to the core. And I think they need to. Do we still have it today? What's happening? Will Jesus really find faith on the earth? There's a call this morning to repentance. There's a call this morning to return to the first works and do them. To come back to the things that we need to be involved in. Prayer, supplications for who? All. Hear the word. All the saints. All of them. And if you are praying for those saints around you and they're praying for them around you, all the saints will be getting prayer. And all the saints. There shouldn't be one person here this morning that doesn't get prayer during the week by another brother or sister. It's not the pastor's job. Sure, I'm called to pray. In fact, I love what Samuel said. He says, lest I sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for His people. And that's where I am. But he doesn't just, well, that's it's a Christian's job. Paul's talking to the church, not the pastor. He is the pastor. He's talking to the church. And he's saying, praying always with all prayers and supplications. And he says, and by the way, for me, pray. Hey, by the way, pray for me. Please. I am on the front lines. Satan wants to take me down more than he wants to take anybody else down this church. You can guarantee it. Pray for me. Pray for me. Pray that I wouldn't lose focus. Pray that I wouldn't stop doing that which I know I need to be doing. Pray for me. Pray for us. Pray for the leaders. Pray for Aaron. Pray for Easy. Pray for Mark. Pray for Richard. Pray for Robbie out there in Uganda. Pray for Mike. Pray for Christian. Pray for Katie. Pray for these people. Pray for Heidi. Pray for our missionaries. Pray for this next trip that we're going here. Next week we're going to England. Pray for us. Pray for Drew. He's standing. He's saying, God, he's stepping out in faith. Pray. He's getting attacked. Pray. Pray for the saints. Pray for the ministries. Pray for the new marriages. Pray for the pregnant women. Pray, pray, pray. Praying always with all prayers and supplications. Be watchful. Pray. Allow God to unleash His glory. Pray for a new building. Pray that we could have a facility where we could equip saints, where people could get alone with the Lord. Pray for a Garden of Eden. Pray. 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 And let's stand back like Moses declared to the children of Israel. Quit your crying and begin to worship. Stand back and see the salvation of the Lord. Stand to your feet. Stand up. Don't get on the ground going, we're going to die. You brought us out here to die. Stand up. And Moses, go forth. And you know what? Pray for me because God's going to call me to go forth. And part that see you. But you know what God's going to call you to do? Like He called the children of Israel? Tell them to get up and go. Moses, you hold the rod, but you tell those kids of mine to go right into that sea because I'm going to part it. We, all of us need faith, every one of us. And we need to come together as a body and we need to see what God is doing and we need to stand back because I guarantee you, you're going to say this exceedingly, abundantly, above all we could ever ask or think. To you be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your grace, for your word, for the clarity and the reminder of it. Lord, bring us back to that place that you want us to be. Heal us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Strengthen us. change us. Give us the heart of persevering saints. Make us people after your own heart. God, I just pray you pour out your Holy Spirit afresh and anew upon us. And I pray for this season that's set before us, God, that you would lead us and guide us, and that you would give us the authority and the ability and the wisdom to go forth into your will. For, Lord, that's what we want. Lord, in the midst of discerning, Lord, what your will is practically for our church, I know this, to pray without ceasing and to in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. And so, Lord, that's what we do. We give you thanks today. Your word says, be anxious for nothing, but by everything, by prayers and supplications with thanksgiving. And the peace of God will rest on you. That's what we do, Lord. We come to you. We want to pray. We want to supplicate. And we want to worship. We want to give you thanks, your God. And we thank you right now in advance for what you're going to do in our church and in our lives. And we pray for spiritual revival. We pray for pockets of people praying, homes in this fellowship that are filled with the prayers of the saints and intercession and giving of thanks, fellowship in the breaking of bread and the communion of the table, and Lord, the studying of the apostles' doctrine, and Lord, that signs and wonders would be done, be magnified, that you would add to your church daily those who are being saved. Save, Lord. Lord, we pray for Santa Monica. We pray, oh God, that you would anoint us as lights in the midst of darkness. God, I pray that you'd start people to intercede on Friday nights. God, because they're out there and Satan and the unseen spiritual world is at work. But Lord, so are we, the light. And we go forth. We praise you. We pray for the children's ministry. We pray, God, be magnified.
Please.
God, do a work. Anoint. Give them, Lord, the best rooms they've ever had. God, give them everything they need to equip those kids and give those kids a heart after you, oh God. God, anoint our kids. Anoint our church with disciples at 7 years old.
Please.
Witnesses at 9 years old going forth with the gospel. Oh God, do a revival. Equip the saints as you see fit, O God. Take away worldliness, Lord, and all of the materialism that's holding us back. Lord, we let it go. Lord, if it's in the way, help us to sell it. Lord, and to give, Lord, as you did in the early church, as they did in the... Lord, cause us to see the glory of eternity and the blessing of setting our treasures in eternity. O God, we worship. Father, we pray that you would anoint. As Aaron begins to worship, as we remain in an attitude of prayer, I believe this morning there's a call for revival. A call for revival is a call for repentance. A call for repentance is a call to turn to the Lord, to come. And if this morning the Lord has spoken to you and you see, hey, my life is not the life God's called me to live. I'm not watchful. I'm not prayerful. In fact, I'm sleeping and I'm in sin. Not just because I'm not praying, but because there's sin in my life. This morning, come forward, please. Come to the front and simply pray. You pray. I'll pray for you in my heart. You pray. Come, just put yourself here and say, Lord, I need revival. And what my prayer is for you this morning is that the Spirit of God is going to fall upon you. But you know what? God's Spirit can't fall upon you if when He falls upon you, you're not going to allow Him to be God in your life. If you come surrender this morning and surrendering, He can fall upon you in a fresh, new way. You're not surrendering if you're not serious, if you're just doing it because you're convicted and you're making that response. And that's a good step, but you got to turn. You got to repent. Come this morning as we worship. You come. We will be praying. I'll be praying. That the Holy Spirit falls upon you. Saints that aren't here, you come. You come. People are going to be praying for you. Saints that aren't coming, you pray. Pray for your brothers and sisters. The Holy Spirit of God will fall upon them afresh do revival. I pray right now that prayer would be ascending from this place in a way that we've never seen. Not as we used to see, as the way we've never seen. That obedience would be ascending from the homes of Christians like we've never seen. That God would be moving. Well, God wants to. God will anoint us to pray. If we want it, it's ours. We can receive it. Come now. Come as we worship the Lord and give Him thanks.